Lord, heal them. Guide their families and guide them. I thank you, Lord, for the troops that are home and the blessings that those who could come home safe have come home safe. Bless their families in ways that they can never imagine. Help those troops, O Lord, to take and try to get back to being a civilian for those who are going back to a normal life. Help them, Lord, to rest. Bless their spirits, Lord. Bless everybody here. Most of all, Lord, bless our pastor. Guide his heart and mind, Lord, and allow us to hear what needs to be said. In your holy name, Lord. Amen.
Sing, great are you, Lord. earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great
Good morning, church. It is great to be back with you guys after a vacation week and some hard work. I came back with all my fingers and all my toes, so it's been a good week. So that worked out well. Hey, let me pray before we jump in the message this morning. Father God, I thank you so much for the fact that you have drawn each and every one of us to you. That there are those here today who have put their faith and trust in you completely, and you have been working on their life and tweaking their life for decades upon decades. There are those who have just put their trust and faith in you, and they've been struggling through the changes that they've been going through as you've been working on them and reworking them and retooling them into all that they can be. And Lord, there are those who are hearing us today who are looking to see if it's okay to trust you or not, that you really do love them and care for them, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And they're trying to make that decision. And
Lord, we just ask that you would speak into their lives today, that you are at work in the life of your people and your church and in the world today, and that they can put their hope and trust in you, and that you will take them from where they're at right now to a place that they could never dream possible. Not just heaven, but their lives could become something so amazing in your hands. And I just pray that we would all be reminded of that, that you're not done working on us yet, that you'll build each and every one of us into something magnificent if we let you. So may we lend ourselves to the hands of the Master, the author and the creator of life, the one who offers us new life through Jesus Christ and can make all things new. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name, we get to pray. Amen. This morning, several weeks ago, I wrote this message, and I was going back through, and it made sense then, and it still makes sense today, so that's a good thing for us. But the sermon that I settled in on for today, and I'm going to be looking at Jesus and what he has promised us, but the sermon for today is, I will build my church. Those simple words, I will build my church, are so significant for us today. Because right now it just seems like so many things are out of sorts and out of control. So many things are not the way they used to be. So many things are not the church you grew up with or the world you grew up in. And it just seems so much like everything is falling apart. And I just wanted to remind us that God's got all this, and he's in control, and it's going to be all right. Because he is the one who has promised that he will build his church into something magnificent and great, and that it's his job. Our job is just to be the workmanship, what he has created, and to work together to do what he desires for us to do. And that's the challenge for us, is trusting him that what he says is good enough to let us lending everything that we are to. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, there was one of the great first church retreats. The chapter starts out with an interesting note to it. It starts out with a confrontation that takes place between Jesus and the established Jewish synagogue board of elders. They began to demand from him a sign that he is significant, that he is worthy of their attention to follow, and he doesn't give them one. He doesn't feel it's necessary to give them an answer to their question or give them the sign that they desire. He just kind of goes on about his business, and he warns his disciples at that moment about getting too close to religion and becoming religious and not becoming in a relationship that God honors. He warns them about getting close to rituals and not God himself. And what's interesting is the chapter then closes a little bit later with Jesus telling them about his coming death and that he would be raised from the dead and it was okay and it was going to be fine. But right there in the middle of things was this little turning point for Jesus and the disciples. And in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, it says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Now that seems kind of weird to me. Why would you say, wow, great job, you got the answer to the question of the ages? And he says, but don't tell anybody the answer. Don't tell anybody who I am. Peter had gotten the right answer to Jesus' question, who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, it's rare in those moments when outspoken people get told to go to the front of the class, but that's exactly what Jesus said. Peter, you got it right. You are perfectly correct. Great job. And you know, that is a question for the ages. And I believe it's probably one of the most important questions we better know the answer to. But not only know the answer to that question, we better be living the answer to that question. Because I believe that that one is going to be on the entrance exam getting into heaven. That one's going to be answered not by just what we say when we get there, but what our life says every day of our lives. You see, there's a whole group of people who thought they knew the answer. Lord, when didn't we give you a drink of water or feed you or clothe you? There's a whole group of people who are going to be completely left out because their whole life did not reflect that Jesus is the Christ. But then there are going to be those who every day, just part of their fabric of their lives, their everyday lives, that they served him, they loved him, they worked for him, that Jesus was not just the lip service, you are the Christ. He was, you're my Christ. And it's going to be something that transforms people's lives. It can, if we let it. But Jesus goes on to say something pretty unique to them. It's kind of weird. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. You know, we can get into talking about the rock. We can get into talking about all those things. But the question is, who did Jesus say was going to build the church? He said he was. Jesus is going to build the church. Matter of fact, Jesus started it, and he was building it up in that moment as he was laying a group of people together that he was pulling together as disciples that were going to take the next step forward to continue building that church. And he kept it going and growing, and it seemed shaky when he died, but it became stronger and stronger as each day took place afterwards. But Jesus said he was going to build the church. Now my question is the church built? Is it complete? Is it finished? No, because look around us. The churches in America and around the world aren't filled to overflowing. Now, we got, let me tell you that. The church buildings in America aren't filled to overflowing. See, this is a building. But it's not the church. We call it a church, but it's not. Because guess what? The church is not a building or a place. It's the people of God. And he is building and gathering and calling together the church right now. And what's amazing is this, is that the builder and the foundation of the church is not Peter or you or me. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is calling us all together. He's been doing it since the foundation of the church when he gave his life for us, and he's continuing to build each day. And he will do so until he returns. Romans 9:33 Paul begins to tell us, he tells us about Jesus becoming this incredible, important point in the church's life, the cornerstone. It says, as it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And as Paul speaks about that, he's like, here's Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of the church, and everything else is going to be formed off of him, and it's going to be glorious and magnificent. But Paul didn't come up with that on his own. What he was quoting was from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, is where he was written. It says, as it was written, CLA in Zion, a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. You know, what's interesting is this is kind of spoken out saying that the church is going to be established, but it's going to be a stumbling block for religious people. It's going to be a problem for them. And Jesus had a great reputation of tripping up a lot of religious people. And the bad thing is there's a lot of religious people in his churches around the world today that are going to be totally surprised when they see him face to face. They're going to be like the Jews who thought because of their genealogy and who they were related to that they were good, they were in. You've heard me talk and say it time and time again that none of my kids will get into heaven on account of me. They don't get into heaven because they're Vince Wilczynski's kids. That does not get you any brownie points with Jesus. But what happens is they get in based on the one true fact of what they answer honestly with their lives every day. Who do they say that Jesus Christ is? And that's the same thing for every person. Your mommy and your daddy and your grandma and your grandpa and Billy Graham and all the rest cannot get you into heaven. Only Jesus can, and it's based on your relationship with him. And if you don't settle that question and you're not able to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, you are my Savior and Lord, then you got some work to work on right now. You got some things to fix and to sort through in your life. Because there's no other way. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But even 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he is the only way any of us will be saved. And he is the only way that we enter and become part of his church, which is his family. I love the old hymn that reminds us of who Jesus is in relationship to the church and to each and every one of his children. It says, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life